You let your hair down. Hey, 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 hey. I got my hands in my pockets, kicking these rocks. Good evening and welcome to the Carolyn Holt Show. Thank you so much for joining me because today, I tell you, I'm going to talk about something that is long overdue, and that's the issue of manners, which I see very little of out in the world. Politeness. Politeness is a very helpful tool. It'll take you a long way in life. And just general decorum. So if you have thoughts or feedback or comments about bad manners or politeness or decorum, I want you to call me. The number to call is area code 323-293-3375. Again, that's area code 323-293-3375. Now, I live on a major street here in the city of Los Angeles, and often at night I close my blinds and open my window, and I just cannot believe some of the, I don't hear cursing. I hear downright cussing. I mean, carrying on, and sometimes I'm not sure who these people are talking to. It appears many times that they may even talk to themselves. But I'm just here to tell you that it just sounds really bad. I can understand, perhaps, is it if it has a purpose. But most times, people are just saying awful things. They don't consider if there might be children around or people who just consider that kind of talk disrespectful. It's not so much that I'm even against it, but I think that publicly you should certainly monitor what you say. The other thing I've noticed is people talking on their cell phones and cussing. The other day, I had to go to the doctor, and it was a young lady there. I assume she must have been breaking up with her boyfriend. And there was a lady sitting to the left of her, and she was next to that lady. There was a young man sitting next to me, and she kept telling her boyfriend that she was not seeing another guy, and the conversation just escalated, and she started yelling and carrying on. And the young man sitting next to me, he looked at me and he said, "You know what? I'm glad I'm single." And I think that sometimes people, I guess they require an audience, because they get louder if you pay attention to them. And I just don't understand it. It's in very poor taste, because if you're sitting in a public place like a waiting room at a doctor's office, you don't want to hear the other person's tribulations or trials, and especially breaking up with a boyfriend. And even the lady said to the young woman at one point, "Honey, if even though he may not say that he doesn't want to be with you, I don't think he wants to be with you." She kept trying to get a straight answer from this young man. And I understand that. But perhaps the doctor's office is not the place to do so. The other issue I see a lot of is coughing and sneezing on people. I just don't know where people got the notion that it's okay to cough and sneeze and not even say, "I'm sorry." They don't say anything. They just let it out, and you're supposed to be okay with it, because if you look at them or say something, they tend to seem to be bothered by that. I was always taught that if you're in public and you have to cough or sneeze, you should do it on your sleeve, because if you do that on your sleeve, that's the least invasive in terms of how it relates to other people. So if you have to cough in public, you know, people understand that sometimes, but don't cough on a person. put your mouth to a sleeve or your arm or something, and cough, because they say that's the least likely place that the other person will have contact with you. Because if you do it in your hand, you know, there's a possibility you may put your hand on something or touch something, and then you spread your germs. And I'm here to tell you, nobody wants your germs. So we just have to be mindful of these things, cursing and coughing. There are a lot of people here in Los Angeles that take the train and they ride the bus. And I guess it was a young man panhandling, and a young woman was just furious. And there was a Starbucks coffee on the corner. So she came to the Starbucks to report the panhandler. But I think sympathy for her got lost in how loudly she spoke and how loudly she cursed and the language that she used to describe the panhandler. It was not everyday sweet conversation. He was, if I might say, he was an MF. He was an SOB. He was just any number of things. And I thought to myself, I know that she was annoyed by his behavior, but I think she never considered what her behavior looked like or sounded like. So I'm just here to tell you, there's just a certain level of bad manners that we've chosen for whatever reason to escalate, and we should do something about that. Bad manners just does not, it's not a good look, and it's not a good sound. So I think some of the cussing and the swearing, it's offensive. And most times people, you know, they just, out of politeness, they kind of sit there and they don't say anything. But I noticed that there's a lot of anger behind the cussing and the swearing and many of the other things that we do publicly. But the rule of thumb I was taught is that your rights end where another person's rights began. And when you are in public, you don't own all the space. It's a common area, and so you have to be mindful, or you should be mindful, of others. That's just the polite thing to do. The other pet peeve I guess I have in terms of behavior and bad manners is driving. Here in the city of Los Angeles, driving is just terrible, and people cut you off, flip the bird to you. Now, when they are wrong, this is what they're doing. I'm surprised, because it seems to me that many people forget that their signal comes with their car. It is not an additional thing that you have to add. Your signal, I would guarantee everybody has one. And I can't figure out for the life of me why people don't use their signal. But they will speed up and cut you off at a triangle and then curse you out for being upset that you almost hit them. And so I just don't understand that behavior. But if you do, or if you are a person that behaves like that, I want you to call the show. The phone number is area code 323-293-3375. And we're going to examine and discuss why that is. Is it because people are in a big, more of a hurry these days, or they just don't consider other people? I'm not sure what the problem is, but I know that we certainly need to address manners, because it is very offensive at least to me anyway. The other thing that I'm offended by a lot is children when they're in the store with their parents shopping and screaming and crying and having a meltdown, and the parents don't stop doing what they're doing to attend to the child. I'm sure many times the parents are used to hearing them cry. But if you're in a grocery store, say, for instance, I know I don't want to hear children screaming at the top of their lungs because they're hungry, they're tired, or whatever. I think parents should address whatever is going on with their kids and not subject me to have to listen to all of that screaming. Now, I've had a child. My son knew. Before we left home, I read him the act about what he was supposed to do. You know, you tell him that you can't, if I say no, you can't have that, and you can't have a tantrum just because it's something that you want. So I just think that there are a lot of things going on in terms of manners that parents really need to take a look at. Adults need to take a look at. Individuals need to take a look at, because our behavior, it affects everybody. Now, we're going to go to break shortly, but when I come back from break, we're going to talk about how to reverse this and how to behave in certain instances in a polite way, because politeness, believe it or not, gets you a long way. So I want you to stay with me, and after the break, we're going to talk about the remedy for bad manners, which is politeness. Stay with me.
Mastering math can be big fun, fun for you and everyone. Play it each and every day. Master math the easy way. Sing, play it. Math Maze.
Why not turn math time into fun time with Math Maze, the new game craze? Get yours today at mathmaze.us.
Mom, now you can help your son master math and have big fun. Play it each and every day. Master math the easy way. Sing, play it.
Make sure your child owns the skills necessary for success in high school algebra. Get it now. MathMaze.us. MathMaze.us.
And now you can help your daughter play it like you know you ought to. Play it each and every day. Master Math the easy way. Say it, play it. MathMaze.
MathMaze cards contain both Spanish and English. Get yours today at MathMaze.us. That's MathMaze.us.
I hear you, Aretha. That's what we need, is some respect around here. I love that song because it does remind us that, hey, we are not here just by ourselves. And so respect is a very important key thing to have. And not only is respect, but when I was growing up, my grandmother used to always say, you know, please and thank you will take you a long way in the world. And I know that that's true, because when I first moved to Los Angeles, I went to, of all places, a liquor store. And I went there to get some change. And I said to the man at the counter, I said, I'm sorry, I'm not here to buy anything, but would you please be so kind as to give me change? And he said, where are you from? And so I told him, and he said, you know, I don't get people coming in here being respectful and saying please and may I. So I know that you had to be from somewhere else. But, you know, it's the little things in life. And politeness is one of those little things in life that goes a long way. And I have a suggestion, though, before we get to politeness, in terms of if you're like on an airplane or in a crowded area, there's these earmuffs. They are by Howard Light. And apparently they get rid of all kinds of noises, especially, I guess, for hotels and airplanes. And they're called noise blocking earmuffs. And they come in two different styles. It says that the first is designed for those discharging firearms. So, you know, if you go to the range, I guess it's to cut down on the noise of the firearm. And then the next one is to help with if you're on a airplane and you want to listen to music. But it not only helps with the music, but you know how people can snore on the airplane. It cuts that out as well, because there's nothing worse than sitting next to the passenger and they're snoring. So these earmuffs, they are about $50, I guess. And you can go, I guess you can get them through the Los Angeles Times. Again, they are called noise canceling earmuffs, and you can go to www.latimes/earmuffs and hopefully get you a pair so you don't have to hear people snore on the plane. But in terms of politeness and manners, there are some, I guess, some universal truths concerning this, and there's a company called Trip Advisor, and so they put together some things to consider, especially if you're out moving around, that'll help you to win the war on politeness no matter where you are or what you're doing. And the first thing that they say in terms of being polite is to make eye contact. And the reason they say that is because it is believed that if you make eye contact with people, it's it makes you appear sincere. I guess if people are talking to you and you're kind of looking all around and not being attentive, you are perceived as being an insincere person. So one of the things to show that you are polite is to make eye contact. Now, I think it needs to be said that making eye contact and staring and gazing at people are two different things. Sometimes people, they look so hard, it makes you feel uncomfortable. Now, that's not what we're talking about. But certainly, eye contact in terms of being engaging, but not staring and gazing at people. We don't want you to do that. The next thing that that perhaps you can try in terms of politeness is handshakes. Handshakes are considered polite because it's a nice way to say hello. But people hate a limp handshake. So if you want to be remembered, you need a firm handshake. And they say that women, I guess, are the culprits here in that often when they extend their hand, they don't, it's not a firm handshake. And so, ladies, it is important that if you shake someone's hand, to be very firm. And they say that if you put both of your hands over another person's hand, that you will be remembered. So if a lot of people are, say if there's a celebrity or somebody that you've always wanted to meet and you get the opportunity to shake their hand, if you put both hands when you have the opportunity, they won't forget you because there's something about shaking with both hands that's very memorable. So I guess that's just food for thought. Also, a lot of people like to go out and eat and go to restaurants. And one of the things that they say regarding restaurants is table manners. And I know this to be true because I've been out to eat and it's very interesting. Some of the things that people don't consider that's rude, like belching and burping, eating with your mouth open, smacking, and licking your fingers. I'm shocked that many times, I guess, especially if it's a barbecue involved, people have no compunction about licking their fingers. And I'm sure it tastes good to them, but if you are a person that is watching that, oh my God, I'm just not sure how you think that's a good thing. But many people do. Many people smack very loudly. You can hear them at the next table. And smacking, that's not a good look nor sound. And just eating with your mouth open. I just don't know. I can't believe that people who do this, I just don't believe that their parents didn't tell them differently. I just don't believe it. It's just something they're choosing to do. Because I think every parent says, now, little Johnny or little Susie, don't eat with your mouth open. I believe that. So when you go to dinner, don't eat with your mouth open. It's always nice also to use a napkin. I'm not sure why people think that there are napkins at the table, because they're not only there to perhaps catch food, but to wipe your face and, you know, make sure that you're not looking disgusting to the person across the room. I guess disgusting is a very strong word, but you know what I mean. Use a napkin for its purpose. It's to remove food and any other things that might be on your face. Also, I guess in terms of eating, there are times, you know, when you don't use utensils, but I think that you certainly should. But, you know, if you're eating finger foods like chicken or French fries or things like that, you don't need a knife or a fork or a spoon. But when you're supposed to use utensils, do that. And I've even seen people say if they're eating like rice or if they're eating soup or whatever, and they get to the last part in the bowl, they have the nerve to pick the bowl up from the table and slurp the... My goodness, I just don't know where these manners come from, because I almost know that was not okay when you were growing up in your household. But don't pick things up. Let them remain sitting on the table, because that's just decency. So don't pick up your bowl and slurp your soup out of it and hold it really close to your mouth to get the rest of the rice or the beans or whatever it is. It's use your utensils. But like I said, now if you're eating chicken or finger foods, then, you know, that's a different story. But be mindful when you're out there just eating and not paying much attention to what it looks like. Another area of politeness is, I guess, in terms of dating or going on a date for lunch or for dinner, and you're taking out a woman. Now, what I'm about to say is always, for some reason, an area of confusion. And that is, who's going to pay? Well, the rule of thumb, according to TripAdvisor, is that the man always pays. Now, I know that, you know, that there are women who insist upon getting the tab, I guess. But according to TripAdvisor, the polite thing to do is the man should pay. And I guess it's to cut down on confusion. Now, I guess because of women's liberation and feminism and all of that, men can be confused about what it is that they're supposed to be doing, because I guess it changes from time to time. But according to proper etiquette, the man pays for the dinner. And it says that he pays because it gives the woman an opportunity to gauge his intentions. So there is a reason that he pays for the dinner. So women, when you go out with a guy, allow him to pay, because it helps you to get a better sense of who it is that you're dealing with. Okay? All right. It says that paying is as important as where you take the person on the date. And if you take them on the date, remember the 15 to 20% gratuity. Because apparently a lot of people are confused about how much they should tip. So the customary correct amount is always 15 to 20%. Okay? Now, if, let's just say you are a person and you're going out alone to a bar. Now, this information really surprised me, because this is going to sound strange, but I've never really been to a bar. So I didn't know any of this etiquette, but I understand that a lot of people do go to bars, and they already know this, but I did not. So I found this very interesting. It says, in terms of being polite at a bar, you should leave a tip for every drink that you order. So if you order 7 drinks, I guess it's customary and polite to leave $7, because it's like $1 for every drink that you order. Now, like I said, I did not know that, but apparently that's what you do. And I guess if you are a regular customer, you just leave your credit card, and the bar attendant, they know that they just continuously add this to your tab. That's my understanding, that you're creating a tab. Now, it says that if you have people in your party, you should clear up who's going to pay. Because I guess when there are a lot of people that go out, sometimes it's expected that one person is just going to pick up the tab for everybody. Well, I guess that's very nice, but in the event that that's not the case, you need to have a discussion and see if everybody is going to pay for themselves individually. And you need to determine that before you get to the bar. Because apparently it's very impolite to assume that if a person leaves their credit card, they're automatically taking care of you. So paying needs to be discussed before you get there. Now, also, this really surprised me about a bar, is that if a woman receives a drink from people, from a man or somebody, says, you know, I'd like to send a drink to the table. Now, if she accepts the drink, this means that it is expected that she's going to engage in polite conversation with the person that sent the drink. So if you don't want to engage in polite conversation, then don't accept the drink, because the person is of the mindset that if you accept the drink, then it's okay to come and engage you in conversation. Also, I found out that there's a certain way to dress if you go to a bar. Apparently, if you go to a bar and you wear 4-inch heels and you wear dresses that are at least 4 inches above your knees and are tight and form-fitting, or an outfit period that's tight and form-fitting, the perception is that you are a prostitute. Now, I was shocked to find that out. I guess now I'm going to have to get rid of all of my 4-inch heels, because I certainly don't want to be perceived that way. But I did not know that. I didn't know that your dress suggests something to the males who come and visit the bar, I guess, on a regular basis. So if you don't want to be perceived as a person that's there for activities other than drinking, then it's your dress has to say that. So I guess anything below, anything under 4 inches in terms of your shoes is safe. And any dress that's not 4 inches above your knees is safe. And I guess a dress that's not too revealing. And I was thinking when I was reading this, I'm going, my goodness, can you imagine just going out for a drink and putting on an outfit that you think you look cute in, but the perception by somebody else is not so much. So I guess these are things we have to think about. But I was really surprised to hear that what you have on suggests that you might be there for other than drinking. Also, I found out that it's no longer considered taboo behavior to leave with a stranger from the bar. It's not considered taboo, but it's not recommended either. So don't say, oh, Miss Carolyn said that it's okay that I can leave with a stranger. That is not what I'm saying. What I am saying that it's no longer taboo if you leave, but the recommendation is that you don't leave with a stranger. What you should do is get, if a person is showing interest in you at the bar, you should get their telephone number and leave the bar by yourself. Especially if both of you have been drinking, it is recommended that you leave the bar by yourself and then call the person, you know, at a later date and have conversations with this person and then decide if you want to, you know, go out and be alone. So even though, like I said, it's not taboo to leave with a stranger, it's not recommended because you don't know what kind of person is at the bar. So for the sake of safety, just get a telephone number and connect with the person and have some conversations first and then make a decision about, you know, whether you want to see them again. Also, in terms of polite behavior, is the issue of a personal space. I know I hate it when sometimes people want to talk to you and they get right down in your face to tell you something. For me, that is too close. And if you're on the elevator, you can feel the person breathing down your neck. That's too close. TripAdvisor says that don't respect space, and especially if you're getting on an elevator. If there are a lot of people standing there to get on, don't just get a running start and push your way through the crowd that's standing. Be polite. Get on one by one. Don't try to push others around. That makes you seem like a bully. And when you think about it, it doesn't look nice, and it doesn't look like you care about anybody other than what happens to you. So be mindful of a personal space. Don't get all down in a person's face, and don't push them out the way. If anything, it's recommended that you hold the door, and let them come on first, and people who have children. But I know many times it's like, I got to get to wherever I have to get. So I'm not going to hold the door and let all of these other people get on and I might not get a space. But it is recommended that the polite thing to do is hold the door and don't just rush and make sure that you have a spot. The other issue of politeness, I guess, that people seem to not know what to do is the issue of cell phones. Now, I think cell phones are something that we all use these days. They have become a very necessary part of our lives. But the lack of etiquette when using a cell phone, you know, if you're in a theater and you know when you leave home that that's where you're headed, turn your cell phone off because no one wants to watch a movie and then suddenly hear all of these interesting rings that cell phones have anyway these days. But just think about this. When you're in public and you want to answer your phone, you know, move away. Don't stand right next to a person and talk as loudly as you can so that people even across the room can hear you. Move away. That's the polite thing to do if you must take a phone call when you're in public. And don't get on the phone and curse and carry on, because everybody does not want to hear you talk to your friend. You know, there's a big thing now. I hear a lot of young people say, "What's up, fool?" You know, when they answer the phone, that's how they answer. "Hey, fool." Well, is that really a polite way to greet somebody? Is "Hey, fool." You know, what happened to "hello"? But apparently that's acceptable. That's an acceptable greeting. But think about that when you're in public. Like I said, when you're in a closed space, make sure that you turn your phone off. And the other place I notice it a lot is in church. People, for whatever reason, they forget to turn their cell phones off. And the minute the pastor gets up to deliver the message, the phone calls are going off. The other area, I guess, just kind of in general, is littering. People seem to not be bothered by littering in the least. They just throw trash anywhere. And I think that it is, I know it's a fine to litter, but it just looks bad. In common areas, don't put your trash for another person to have to walk over or whatever. You know, trash cans have a purpose, so use them for that purpose. The other area in terms of politeness is parents and children. And some people thinking that it's okay to spank their children, I guess, in public and basically correct them with a tongue lashing and or a spanking. Now, I'm not opposed to spanking. I'm of the thought that it is necessary. But sometimes I think when you're in public, it can make people feel a little uncomfortable. You know, it might be something that you're used to doing. And cursing your children out and spanking them makes the people surrounding the situation, it can make them a bit uncomfortable. So it's okay to get their attention. But if your children are really having a meltdown, take them away from the situation, because everybody is just not trying to hear, you know, the noise. And the parent obviously losing control. So think about that. When you're in public, I like I said, I believe in correction and I believe in discipline, but I think there's just a way to do it that it doesn't cause everybody to be uncomfortable. And another area that I notice a lot that used to not be, and that's men hitting and pushing women in public. That's not good for the man, and it's certainly not good for the woman. I guess it's impolite and very impositional to engage in physical contact with a female. If you guys are arguing or if you're upset and you're having issues, remove yourself from the situation. And like I said, don't engage in physical violence, because then you have to run the risk of people reporting you. But so it's amazing to me. I saw this happen once, and the young man seemed perplexed that not only did people get on his case, but security was called to keep the situation from escalating. And his yelling and cursing got louder, and said, you know, he threatened that next time he was going to do even more physical or bodily harm. But, you know, you need to think about that. Don't bring your personal mess to a very public forefront. I think that's something that we can all be mindful of. And it seems a relatively easy thing to do. Now, if you have some pet peeves about politeness and bad manners, please feel free to call us here at 323-293-3375. I would love to hear some of the things that create some irritation for you, and I'd love for you to share. So if you have something you'd like to share, please call me. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about a few more things, and then we're going to talk about gratitude, and I want you to join me, okay?
Mastering math can be big fun, fun for you and everyone. Play it each and every day. Master math the easy way. Sing, play it. Math Maze.
Why not turn math time into fun time with Math Maze, the new game craze. Get yours today at mathmaze.us.
Mom, now you can help your son master math and have big fun. Play it each and every day. Master math the easy way. Sing, play it. Math Maze.
Make sure your child owns the skills necessary for success in high school algebra. Get it now. MathMaze.us. MathMaze.us.
And now you can help your daughter play it like you know you ought to. Play it each and every day. Master Math the easy way. Say it, play it. Math
Maze cards contain both Spanish and English. Get yours today at MathMaze.us. That's MathMaze.us.
Thank you so much, and welcome back to the Carolyn Holt Show. Tonight we're talking about manners and politeness and decorum, something that I think all of us can use from time to time. Another area that people struggle with is being very well intended when people are having problems or struggle. And I found this in Real Simple magazine, and it struck me because I'm guilty of this myself. I was very well intended, but I've said some of these things. One of the things that people say is, now let me know if there's anything I can do. Say that, you know, a friend or a relative or somebody there in crisis, and in your well intention, that's what you say. And in Real Simple, they say that that's a lovely sentiment, but it puts the onus on the person to ask you for help, says Andrea Bonnar, who's a clinical psychologist and the author of The Friendship Fix. You feel good, you offered, and the person feels too overwhelmed to remember what you said or did. So if you have a friend dealing with a death in the family or, you know, whatever, a loss of a job or whatever, it's recommended that when you say, let me know if there's something I can do for you, that you be a little bit more specific, because if the person is overwhelmed, they may not can receive it the way that you intended it. So it says to be specific so they can simply say yes or no. So, for example, you can say you want to drop off dinner, you want to pick up the kids for them, tell them that you'd like to send your cleaning service over if there's a need for it. You want to help the family by saying that if somebody comes in from out of town and there's no place to stay, you'll help, to arrange and put that together so that that's a burden lifted off of them. It says people need information on a moment's notice. So if you're trying to help them, try to take the guesswork out of it for them. So if you really want to help, that's the way to help. But don't overwhelm them. And the other phrase that we say a lot is, oh, this will pass, or oh, the worst is over. Well, you don't know that. So instead, they suggest that you say that you wish you knew what to say and just listen. Don't try to say something that you think would comfort them, because while it might comfort you, it might not be comforting to them, even though, you know, you're well-intended. The other thing that they say to stay away from is when people are in relationships, don't say, oh, you're so much better off without him. And I know that girlfriends often say this to each other because that's what they really feel and what they really mean, especially if you've complained to them about your man or your husband or your boyfriend. And it seems that the relationship is not good. That is what they're going to say if you have a complaint about him. Oh, you're so much better off without him. And Real Simple says, what you have to be mindful of is that people get back together. Even though they may be having a fight in the moment, they get back together. And it says that also saying things like this imply that the person shouldn't be upset, which is just annoying, says psychologist Guy Winch, the author of Emotional First Aid. Instead, try something like this. I know it's upsetting. It must be hard to start over again. And the main thing he says, please don't say, is I never liked him anyway, and he was the worst, and he was bad for you. So while you may be tempted, this is not something that you should do. Also, are you okay? Another thing we do is jumping in to answer for your kids when an adult asks them a question. And I understand this because I've done this before. It says, even if it creates a moment of social awkwardness, resist the urge, says Kristen Pace, the author of Mindful Parenting. You want to create a habit where kids answer for themselves. Even the shy ones. They learn that their parents don't solve all their problems for them. So you start small, and when you go to a restaurant, tell young kids that you will order for them, but they have to let the server know if they want something in addition to whatever you've ordered. Because the thought or the idea is that you want to help kids learn to think for themselves at a very early age. So you don't have to always jump in and say something when an adult is talking, because for the most part, kids are very smart and very intelligent, and they can express, what they can answer. I understand, though, as a parent, sometimes, we're just used to talking adult to adult, and so sometimes when adults are talking to children, we tend to answer for them. So it's a It can be tricky. You know, sometimes kids, as they say, can say the darndest things, and you are not sure as a parent what to say, so you don't want them to continue and embarrass you, so you jump in and start to answer for them. Also, the area of giving misbehaving kids immediate consequences. It says, don't worry, your child won't miss the lesson if you don't hammer home the point at the playground in front of everybody. When children are upset, the part of the brain that is receptive to learning is completely inhibited or turned off. Revisit the incident once everyone, you included, has calmed down, and your kids will be more tuned in to what you're saying. Well, I can understand that. Now, I guess if the child's life is in jeopardy in some way, you know, you don't want to just let it linger. But I understand what they're saying. But the point of tonight's show is to address the area of bad manners and all of the things that we're doing out there that perhaps we could do a lot better. And being polite and being courteous, no matter what your situation is in life, is a very good thing. And I have an example of there was a homeless man that lived here on the streets here in Los Angeles. And this gentleman lived near, I guess, the courthouse near downtown. And even though he was homeless, he spoke to the people that went to this building every day. Many people, they struck up a conversation with him. And one day, a man, knowing that he was homeless, noticed that he had a dog, and that the dog that he owned didn't have identification tags. So he decided that he would buy the ID tags for this man's dog, because the man is homeless and he can barely take care of himself. So he wanted to do a nice gesture, and so he bought these tags. Well, unfortunately, the homeless man suffered a major illness, and the man who had offered to buy the tags for the dog was the point of contact. So somebody found, when the man suffered the major illness, somebody found the dog and took it to an animal shelter, and the animal shelter contacted the other Good Samaritan, because the homeless guy was a very good guy, and this other man was a very good guy. So they contacted him to let him know that his dog was missing. And so the man said, well, you know, I don't have a missing dog. My two dogs are here with me. Well, it turned out the homeless man had become very ill and had been taken to a hospital. And unfortunately, he passed away. And the man who had bought the tags went to the shelter and picked up the dog for this homeless guy, because he had lost his life. And he said the reason he did that is because this person was an outstanding human being. Even though he was homeless, he constantly thought about others. He would ask them about their families. He was genuinely concerned about how things were going for them on their jobs. He was just a fabulous guy. So the the other Good Samaritan in the story, he took the dog in, and it was such a good fit that one of his dogs and the dog that he brought into the situation started to sleep together and became inseparable, because the one dog recognized that this dog missed its owner, and these dogs became very good friends and started to behave as if, you know, they had been raised together all along. So just politeness and kindness can often go a long way, even though, you know, you don't know that your politeness is of such a major benefit to people. It's just a good practice to have. You can't beat smiling at someone and being engaging no matter what your circumstances might be in life. So my heart was just really warmed when I read the story. And these people that had been kind to the homeless man, they were very devastated when he lost his life. And they talked about his hospitality and what he meant to them. So oftentimes we might think that we don't have anything to offer anybody, but kindness and politeness, I tell you, it can go a long way. And I was thinking, now how can we frame this so that after tonight people can move forward? Because this show is about moving forward with purpose, and we always want to help you move from misery to magnificence and from subpar to spectacular. And one of the ways that I think that you can accomplish this is through gratitude. If you are a polite person, your politeness and your gratitude toward others, it does not go unnoticed, even though you might think it does. And so I discovered what some very famous people had to say and affirm about gratitude, because it does really go a long ways in life. And one of the people that is on this paper, her name is Toni Morrison, and Toni Morrison is an American author. And she said that at some point in life, the world's beauty becomes enough. You don't need to photograph, paint, or even remember it. It's enough. And that's true. If you just think about how wonderful the world is and show some gratitude for the world, I guarantee you that it'll make you feel better, and it'll make others feel better as well. And the poet, the Roman poet Horace, said that only a stomach that rarely feels hungry scorns common things. The Colombian author Gabriel Marquez says, "It's enough for me to be sure that you and I exist at this moment." Marcus Aurelius, who was a Roman emperor and philosopher, said, "Mark how fleeting and paltry is the estate of man. Yesterday in embryo, tomorrow a mummy or ashes. So for the hair's breadth of time assigned to thee, live rationally and part with life cheerfully, as drops the ripe olive, extolling the season that bore it and the tree that matured it." Now that's Old English, so you'd have to consult an Old English dictionary to know what paltry means, because that's not a word we even use anymore today. The Dalai Lama, he says, "Every day, think as you wake up. Today, I am fortunate to have awakened. I am alive. I am a precious human life, and I'm not going to waste it." And, you know, if you improve your thought and your concern about not only yourself but others, it is amazing the attitude change you can have regarding others and humanity, period. So the key point is, as we go forward in life, is to always remember that you're probably not the only person in the space. And so if you're going to share space, politeness is a good way and a good attitude to have regarding space. So As we leave tonight, I want you to always remember not only to keep your head up, but to consider others as you move through the world, and I believe they will consider you. Good night. Thank you so much for joining me, and keep your head up.
Mastering math can be big fun, fun for you and everyone. Play it each and every day. Master math the easy way. Sing, play it. Math Maze.
Why not turn math time into fun time with Math Maze, the new game craze. Get yours today at mathmaze.us.
Mom, now you can help your son master math and have big fun. Play it each and every day. Master math the easy way.
Say, play it. Math Maze.
Make sure your child owns the skills necessary for success in high school algebra. Get it now. MathMaze.us. MathMaze.us.
And now you can help your daughter play it like you know you oughta. Play it each and every day. Master Math the easy way. Say it, play it. Math Maze.
Math Maze cards contain both Spanish and English. Get yours today at MathMaze.us. That's MathMaze.us.
Keep your head up.